The trade war with China has been getting hotter lately. The Trump administration announced new tariffs on almost all Chinese imports. Those would go into effect next month. Now, China has weakened its currency in part as a response to those tariffs. If you remember how it all got started, one of the administration's main reasons for the trade war was to bring manufacturing jobs back to the United States. But is that actually happening? Hoyt Blakely is an associate professor of economics at the University of Michigan. Hoyt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Rob.
Well, I know it can be hard to measure the direct impact of things like tariffs, but what do we know about manufacturing jobs in the United States and whether they're being affected by tariffs?
Well, it depends on the industry, right? It's if it's something that competes with an import with China, then the tariffs make that a bit more competitive, but that cost gets passed on to whoever's next in the supply chain, be it another manufacturer or be it a consumer. If it's something that depends on imports from China, then its inputs just got more expensive.
What kind of industries can we look at and say, okay, yeah, maybe we are seeing job growth. It may be related to tariffs on China.
Well, steel is the obvious one, right? That steel is something that is an input to sort of all many manufactured goods, but it's something that the U.S. has pushed to protect a bit more. And so that's something that has seen increase in steel prices, which, you know, reflect eventually that those industries might scale up a little bit in the U.S. It does mean that the ones that use steel as an input might scale down.
So if I want to make something like a car or a wheelbarrow or whatever using steel, that might be hurting my job outlook.
Correct.
Now, what do we know about corporations who are facing tariffs or currently producing things in China and whether or not they're looking at these tariffs and saying, okay, I want to move my production out of China into the United States or out of China and into a third country?
That's a really good point in your question, right, which is that you might think of the substitute for China not being somewhere in the U.S., but being Vietnam, for example, and there's certainly an awful lot of that. You might think of Asia properly as being sort of an integrated supply chain from which we buy finished goods. The finished goods might be receive their final assembly in China. Now they get their final assembly in Vietnam. That's a very likely outcome of such tariffs.
Talk about that Asian supply chain. Why do companies around the world look at that and say, yeah, I'm better off producing there, even if I'm shipping it across the Pacific Ocean?
Well, there's, 20 years ago, people started talking about the death of distance, that it was so much easier to move things, but distance is still very important. It's why the UK is a little foolish in thinking it can just extract itself from Europe because it's right next to it. So you also have a European supply chain in which German auto companies use relatively inexpensive labor from Slovenia and the Czech Republic and such. You see a integrated supply chain in North America that we know about. We in Michigan especially know about it, all the trade that goes across the river into Canada, as well as things that go down to Mexico. And, you know, there's a real natural reason, which is that heavy stuff is expensive to move a lot. And so if you're going to have a supply chain, it's inherently going to be contained to a smaller area. To the extent that those rules are exempt, interestingly enough, you might see situations like stuff that's really easy to ship, like computer code. And in fact, you see integrated supply chains in the computer industry that go between California and Bangalore, India, right, where the bits cost very little to move back and forth.
Looking at manufacturing job performance in the United States, what are we seeing when it comes to the numbers over the last couple of years?
Well, let's go back instead a couple decades, right,
sure.
where we've seen essentially decline. Some of that is because the industries where the U.S. has its sort of weakest comparative advantage, where there's a lot of labor input, those have really been hit the hardest. The industries where the U.S. has its comparative advantage are things where there's quite a bit more human capital input in the computer industry, for example. Those are the ones where the decline has been the least, or in some cases there's even been growth.
Talking to Hoyt Blakely, Associate Professor of Economics at the University of Michigan, looking at trade wars, tariffs, and manufacturing job performance here in the United States. We'll bring on a caller now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is, You know, there's a lot of problems with the tariffs, and it obviously causes hardships and is not good, especially for the Midwest farmers. But China is obviously a bad player. They steal our intellectual property. They are definitely doing things in an unfair advantage. How else can we combat their bad behavior, if not by using these tariffs? They talked about using the TPP, but the problem is that if you're a country that's not having a lot of your intellectual property stolen, you're not going to be as concerned as the United States obviously should be.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. Hoyt is a lot of people, I think, across the partisan divide think of China as a bad actor when it comes to trade. What do you think of the use of tariffs as a weapon, I guess, to get China on side?
Well, your caller asks a fantastic question, and I completely agree with the premise that there are lots of bad things that China does. I guess I disagree with the caller's implicit conclusion, right, that the way to deal with this problem is to find alliances with the countries that are the other countries that are seeing their intellectual property expropriated by China. Unfortunately, what the Trump administration has done is it's kind of burned its goodwill with many of our other trading partners that might have been advantaged by improving the protection of their intellectual property, right? It's the administration has been very aggressive in kind of going after arrangements with our friends, with the Canadians, with various of the European countries. I think there are enough countries out there that would be on our side and collectively represent a really big market that the Chinese would want to export to.
Charlie, thanks a lot for the call. Hoyt, let's look at that Trans-Pacific Partnership. We were just touching on it there. A lot of people now are saying, yeah, to get China in line, we would need this alliance, not just the United States, but other partners that they trade with. That's what the Trans-Pacific Partnership was supposed to do. But in our 2016 election, that became toxic. Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump spoke against it. Hillary Clinton had to switch from supporting it, or decided to switch from supporting it to opposing it under a lot of pressure from key Democratic voters. What happened there?
The politics of this are a little hard for me as an economist to understand, I have to say. You know, clearly some kind of cooperation is indicated. And so maybe it needs to happen under different labeling. If I were to notice another recent thing that the Trump administration done vis-a-vis trade is, you know, it came into office saying that NAFTA was the worst thing ever. And then it goes through a bunch of rigmarole and then negotiates this new thing, NAFTA 2.0, called the U.S.-Canada-Mexico Agreement, that is very, very, very similar. Don't let anybody tell you that it's a dramatic change, because it's quite similar. But it's just relabeled. Okay, so I'm going to let the politicians and their PR experts come up with a relabeling on some mechanism that lets people cooperate towards what is, I think, a reasonable end of improving, improving this situation of expropriation of intellectual property by the Chinese government.
In this trade war, if we're calling it that, with China, we've seen this recent concern with currency and China devaluing its currency. This is something people say, yeah, a decade or two ago, China did this. They kind of gamed the system with how they valued their currency. Can you untangle how this works and why it matters what China's currency is compared to the U.S. dollar?
Well, first of all, from a strategic perspective, of course they're going to try to do this in the face of tariffs, right? Because it's going to mean some of the increase in the price of their goods is going to be undone by a depreciation of their currency. That said, the dollar's been strengthening against a whole bunch of other currencies in recent times. The Chinese currency, the renminbi, is maybe different to some extent, but it's not a tremendous outlier in this dimension. There are a lot of reasons why this would happen, like their economy having, you know, record low unemployment, having tremendous deficit spending and an expansion, and, you know, what is probably the peak of the business cycle. So you'd sort of expect the dollar to be becoming stronger during this period, and that's what we're getting. I wouldn't lay all of this at the feet of the Chinese.
Now, the idea of a strong dollar, you know, we like the dollar here. Being strong sounds like a good thing. How does it hurt us in some ways to have a strong dollar compared to other currencies?
Yeah, I wish we had a different expression than strong versus weak, because, you know,
weak sounds
so
bad.
Muscular to have a strong dollar. But of course, it means our products are more expensive abroad. Right. It means people have to pay higher prices for our stuff. Now, if they kept buying it anyway, we'd love it if we had a strong dollar, because it's more money coming back here. But of course, there are substitutes for U.S. products.
do we in the United States, as the government or Federal Reserve, try to keep the dollar less strong, to try to keep the dollar weaker to make our imports or exports, sorry, more attractive?
Well, again, back to public relations, the Treasury Department has said for decades we have a strong dollar policy, but not really done that much about it and deferred to the Fed. When the Fed does things like changes interest rates, it makes investing in the U.S. more or less attractive. Recently, when it lowered interest rates, it made it less attractive to send capital to the U.S. Exchange rates are, I think people think have this kind of mystical view of exchange rates, but they're more or less a price just like any other price that's determined in a market. If you're in an economy that is sort of letting it be flexible, and you're talking about another economy that's letting its exchange rate be flexible. And so it comes down to sort of what is the supply and demand associated with assets on either side of the border and on goods on either side of the border.
Now, as we in the United States and China escalate back and forth with tariffs and maybe changing currency, it's hurting each country in a different way. And the question seems to be, who's going to hurt less in the long run? And that side wins, I guess. What are you watching for to see who tariffs and back and forth trade battles affect worse?
Well, I guess it depends on what you think of as a win. If you think of as a win as being unscathed, then the president's assertion via Twitter that trade wars are easy to win is just wrong. That said, China clearly depends more on trade with the U.S. than the U.S. depends on China. And so in that sense, we have kind of a negotiating advantage. On the other hand, this is someone, the president of China is essentially president for life. Right, he doesn't have to answer to domestic political constituencies in the same way that our politicians do, which gives him something of a negotiating advantage. I can't say how that's going to balance out.
What are you watching for next, Hoyt, as we see this back and forth with China? What are the next steps, portents you're looking for?
I would like the tit for tat to slow down. I'd like to hear a coherent articulation of the end game from the Trump administration.
We'll leave it there. Go ahead, Hoyt.
Sounds good. No, that's great.
Hoyt, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Hoyt Blakely, Associate Professor of Economics at the University of Michigan, with us today to talk about the impact of the trade war with China on American factory jobs.